All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chof Vav Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Most of the beginning of today's daf should be familiar to us. We've seen it previously here in the Masechta, as well as in Zvachim as well. We've discussed much of it, which is found here, which is Nitme'u Shiareha. If the Shirayim became Tameim, Nisrefu Shiareha. They were burnt up. Avdu Shiareha. The Shirayim and the Mincha were lost. Kamidat Rebbe Eliezer Shira. According to Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, it should be fine. According to Rabbi Yeshua's position, it will be psula. From the nature of the Mishnah, it sounds like either they never spoke this explicitly, I mean that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua never said this, and we are extrapolating from their position with regards to the Zvachim to here, or that this Tana is taking their opinions and saying that this was what I think they would be, but possibly they don't hold like this. Or they don't believe that that is the case, and you could differentiate. But this Tana believes that this is an extension of their opinions by the Zvachim. So now the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, again, which we've seen numerous times, are the question of what you need in order to put the dam on the Mizbeach. We have a pasuk that's found in Dvarim Yud Bet, which says that, Asita olotecha habasar v'adam al Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. It's clear here that you need to put the dam on the Mizbeach in order to eat the basar. It's a prerequisite to the basar being eaten. Question is, do you need the basar in order to put the dam on the Mizbeach? And so that's an argument about the first half of the pasuk, which is Sito lotecha basar ve'adam. So the basar and dam, according to Rabbi Yeshua, means im ein basar, ein dam. There's no basar, there is no dam. The basar is a prerequisite, a necessity, in order to put the dam on the mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer learns what it means. Asita olotecha basar v'adam means afilu ein basar yesh dam. Even if there is no basar, you can't put the dam on the mizbeach. This is important fundamentally because it determines when you can put the dam on the mizbeach, whether you need the other parts which are not essential to the kapara. The kapara is done through the dam. But from this pasuk, Rabbi Yeshua concludes that even though the dam is the mechaper, it needs to release. It needs to be matir something, and you need the basar to be there in order for it to be matir. We're going to see in today's daf, we've noted it before, that the truth is that you don't have to have basar, you can actually have chaleb. You can have that which goes on the mizbeach. All Rabbi Yeshua requires is that something that either goes to the mizbeach or something that's eaten by Adam be around for the dam to be matir. Otherwise, the dam can't go on the mizbeach. It's not a standalone kapara. It needs to release something, whether it's to the mizbeach or to the adam. Now then, Rabbi Eliezer says that the dam stands independently. And so, afu pishe in basar, even though there's no basar, yesh dam. Now, if we take that and extrapolate that over to the din of a mincha, we know that with regards to a mincha, the komets going on the mizbeach, haktarata komets, is the equivalent of the dam being placed on the mizbeach, and the shiarei hakometz are the equivalent of the basar or the chelev of the korban. So now, if you extrapolate their positions, that means that kemida Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says that afilu ein basar yesh dam. Even without basar, there is dam. He will say the same thing here as well. Even without shirayim, there is a kometz that can go on the mizbeach. So the beginning of the Mishnah, which says that the shirayim became tmeim. They were burnt up. They were lost. Despite all of that, you can still put the komets on the mizbeach, according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that imein basar ein dam, he would similarly say here, imein shirayim ein komets. And you can't place the komets on the mizbeach because the shirayim no longer exist, either because they became tmeim, or they were burnt up, or lost. Now, Amar Rav, behu shenitmeu kol shiareha. So he qualifies the Mishnah and says, when I say nitmeu shiareha, that's only when the entirety of the shirayim became tameim. About mixat shiareha, lo. But if it was just a portion of the shirayim that became tameim, that would not be a problem. Now, kasalka datcho, you would think that Rav's statement is nitma'in, true by tum'ah, avud v'saruf, lo. But not true by aveda, and not true by sreifa. It means only when we have shirayim that are tameim, in their entirety is it pasul. But if they have a portion of them that are not tmeim, it's fine. But that would not be true by avud and saruf. If a portion of them were lost or a portion of it was burnt, the residual would not help you over here. In the havamina here, conceptually, we would have said that nitma is different than avud v'saruf because it's actually extant. And the fact that it is extant makes it maybe possibly when it's tamei, and it's only a portion of it's tamei, we can somehow be mitzareif. We can bring together that which is tamei to that which is tahor, because it's still here. By avud v'saruf, the item doesn't exist at all. It doesn't exist at all. There's nothing to speak about in terms of looking at it as if it is, or considering it. And again, then the tzitz could kick in that situation. But then the Gemara clarifies and says that that can't be the case, because if you explain the component parts of why this works, it should have ramifications. Gemara says, why would you make such a distinction? My kasavar. I kasavar shiura miltoi. If you believe that the residual, meaning that you don't have the full shirayim, but any residual of the shirayim is fine, afilu avud v'saruf nami. Then even if you have it burnt or lost, whatever is residual should be sufficient to allow you to put the komets on his back. Ikasavar shira lav miltei. If you believe that having some residual of the shirayim is not enough, benitma my taima. So then why would it be that the tamei should be released or be okay in that case? If you tell me that it's not enough to have a small portion of the shirayim, why when it becomes tamei partially, is that okay? So the merat tzitz must be that the tzitz intervenes over here and allows that which is tamei to be qualified in this situation. If that's the case, kol shi'areha nami. Then why does it matter how much of the shirayim are tameim? If the tzitz is mimratzeh, it can be mimratzeh on a portion of it, it can be mimratzeh on the entirety of it. So why would you make such a distinction? So the olam kasabar, in the end, the Gemara says, no, Rab believes, shira miltohi, a residual of the komets is sufficient in order to put on the mizbeach. So then why do you only mention about tuma? Vinitma, v'huadin avud v'saruf. You mentioned tuma, but just as a paradigm, not to say that tuma versus avud v'saruf, it means tuma and avud v'saruf. V'hayde kamar nitma. Why does he then only mention nitma? Why did he do it in that manner? Reshayu nakat. He picked the first of the three items as mentioned in the Mishnah and he just qualified it. But it's true of the other two items in the Mishnah that he would make that same qualification. Now, the view of Rav, first of all, is similar to the machloket that we saw before in the Masechta between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which is that if you have shirayim that go missing or have a deficit in them between the time of the hafrashat hakomets and haftarat hakomets, are you allowed to put the komets on the mizbeach? Reish Lakish said no. Reish Lakish says that you're disqualified if you lose any of the shirayim. Rabbi Yochanan said, even if you're missing the shirayim, you can put on the mizbeach the komets. And that's exactly what it sounds like from Rav. As long as there's a portion of the shirayim that are left, you can put it on the mizbeach. And that matches with what Rabbi Yochanan said before. And just to remind ourselves, the Gemara there said that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you can put the komets on the mizbeach, when there is a deficit in the shirayim, that is true in terms of the akhtarat ha-komets and the discharging of the obligation of the individual bringing the mincha. But it still does not permit you to eat the shirayim. The shirayim cannot be eaten if you only have a portion of the shirayim there. It only facilitates your ability to put the komets on the mizbeach, but not to eat the shirayim of the mincha, because it is not done fully or properly. And so the shirayim are only released when it's done absolutely correctly, which is all the shirayim are there and the komets went on the mizbeach. Any deficit would then cause it that it can't be eaten by the kohanim. Kiditanyo. So this is similar to a brayta that we found in Bishulmer. Kol hazvachim shebetorash nishtar mehem kezai pasar kezai tchelev zoreket adam. This is what we mentioned by the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yeshua believes that as long as there's a kezayit worth of chelev, or a kezayit worth of basar that's left over, then you can do zrikat adam on the mizbeach. Kechatzi zayit basar, kechatzi zayit chelev, inu zoreket adam. If you only have a half kezayit of basar, half kezayit of chelev, that doesn't work to be mitzareif to a kezayit. You need either path. You either need basar or you need chelev. You can't have basar and chelev comprise the kezayit that's left over. With the exception of ube'olah, ube'olah afilu chatzi zayit basar, chatzi zayit chelev, zoreket adam, mibnei shukula kalil. Because as we know, the olah goes entirely on the mizbeach. Therefore, there's no distinction between the basar and the chelev. They both end up on the mizbeach. They are both the achilat ha-mizbeach. There is no achilat adam over here. And so therefore they can be mitzareif, a chatzi zayit of each, in order to facilitate your ability to put the dam on the mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yeshua. O b'mincha, afilu kula kayamet. By mincha, even if it's totally extant, lo yizrok. You can't put it on the mizbeach. Mincha, maya vidta. How did you get the mincha in the middle of a breita, speaking about zrikat adam? So we got the dam has nothing to do with a mincha. It almost seems like a non sequitur here that it jumped to mincha after speaking about a zebach. So Rav Papa, minchat nisachim. Speaking over here, not a standard mincha, but a minchat nisachim that comes along with the korban. And it's saying, sakadat kamina hoyo, ubahadi zebach ka'atyo, kigufe de zivcha damyo, since the minchat nisachim comes along with the korban, it will have the same status as the korban itself. So that if you have some residual of the korban, you're allowed to put the dam on the mizbeach. That means if you have a kazayit of basar or a kazayit of chelev, you would think also maybe that if you have the minchat nisachim with you, that also would be enough to allow you to put the dam on the mizbeach. That we consider as if there was basar or chelev left over. There is no basar or chelev, but there is minchat nisachim. Since the minchat nisachim is part and parcel of the korban, it's released by the zrika to dam in this case. So therefore, you would have thought it would be sufficient to be considered a part and parcel of the korban, that if it was there, you could do the zrikat adam. Kamash malan, that is not the case. Now the Gemara wants to know, menahani mile. How do we know that that is the case? So Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yishmael, umata ba mishum Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya. So Rabbi Yochanan says it over in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, and some push it towards Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, in Pashat, Akrimot, Zerach HaKohen at the Dama Mizbach Hashem, Betach Olmoed, Viktir HaChelev, the Reach Nichoach LaHashem. Viktir HaChelev, the Reach Nichoach LaHashem. Chelev, Afalpi She'en Basar. First of all, this is the other half of Rabbi Yeshua's position, which is Rabbi Yeshua says, if you either have Basar or Chelev left over, that's enough to allow you to bring the Korban. So the first part of it is Vasito Lotecha Basar VaAdam. That we learned from Dvarim Yudbet, that if you have basar, then you can put the dam on the mizbeach. From where does he know that if you have chelev, that also allows you to put the dam on the mizbeach? That's from what we just saw here. Zerach HaKohen at the dam, Mizbach Hashem Petach Omoed. So that grants you the right of zrikat the dam. And then all that is mentioned afterwards is Viktir HaChelev, the Reach Nichoach LaHashem, that you put the chelev on the mizbeach. So it seems to be that it's sufficient that you put the chelev on the mizbeach. That's enough to allow you to put the dam on the mizbeach. So now when it says, Ashkan chelev. Now you find, if you have leftover chelev, that's enough. Yoteret ushtei klayot minolan. How do we know not even the core fats, but the additional fats that are brought on the mizbeach from the korban? As the psukim say by the shlamim, v'ikrim mizbeach shlamim yishel Hashem, et ha-chelev ha-mechase et ha-kerev, et kol ha-chelev asher la-kerev, which is the plain chelev, ואת שתי הקליות, ואת החלב אשר להם, אשר לכסלים, ואת היוצרת על הכבד, על הקליות, יסירנו. So those are the secondary fats that are put on. The first three fats that cover the kerev. And then you have these two additional types of fats, those that are associated with the kidneys, and those that are associated with the yoteret ha-kavet. How do we know that they also are enough to allow you to do zrika the dam? Minolan, how do we know that from? Diktoni, because it says, ומנחה אפילו כולו קיימת לא יזרוק. Because the Braita told us that by a mincha, minchat nesachim, even if the entirety of the minchat nesachim is around, you can't do the zrikat adam. That's not sufficient residual to allow you to do the zrikat adam. Mincha hu delo yizrok. Ha yoter tushtik levayot, yizrok. That implies that it's only the minchat nesachim that's not sufficient. But any part of the korban is sufficient, including the yoter da kaved and the shtei klayot. So now, minolan, how do you know that? Where do we know that from? Yochanan didei amar, the Reach Nichoach. Because the end of the pasuk is, Viktir HaChelev, the Reach Nichoach LaHashem. Kosha Tam Aleh, the Reach Nichoach. Anything you put on the Mizbeach, which is pleasing to Hashem and has a good smell. Ve'itzrich, the Michtav Chelev. Ve'itzrich, the Michtav, the Reach Nichoach. Now, if you tell me that, why do you need the word Chelev in the pasuk? Anything that's Reach Nichoach would have covered Chelev as well. So Gemara says you need both the word Chelev and Reach Nichoach. Tikatav Chelev, Havamina Chelev, Ve'en Yoter Tushtek Le'od Lo. Had it just written chelev, I would have thought solely chelev is marking you to put the dam on the mizbeach, but the yoteret ha-kaved and the shtei klayot would not do that. That's why katav rachmana reach nichoach to include these other items as well. Because rachmana reach nichoach, havamina afilu mincha. Had it been reach nichoach, I would have thought even the minchat nesachim would have been sufficient to allow you to put the dam on the mizbeach. Katav rachmana chelev. That's why the Torah wrote chelev, that has to be a chelek of the behema. It has to be something that is a physical part of the behemah that ends up in the mizbeach, and that's what allows you to do the zrikat hadam in this situation. This is shita Rabbi Yeshua, that zrikat hadam requires a minimum of either a kezayit basar, that's from Or the other possibility is that you have a kazayit worth of fat, and that comes from v'iktira chelev, and not only just the fat of chelev, but any of the fats that are there, because it says the reach nikoach l'Hashem, so that includes any item. Those are requirements in order to allow you to do the zrikat adam. On the other hand, having a minchat nisachim is not sufficient to allow you to do zrikat adam, because it's not a physical part of the behema. It is separate from the behemah, and therefore it doesn't allow you to put the dam on the mizbeach. Alright, so now, the next Mishnah again is familiar to us. We've seen this again earlier in this Masecht as well as in Zvachim a number of times. Shalom ikli sharet pasul. If you do the mincha without a kli sharet, it is pasul. Rabbi Shimon makshir. And Rabbi Shimon is makshir. Now Rashi over here says, as a prerequisite here, that we're not speaking about the mincha itself. He says that, mitzchilat mincha vaday lo plige debai kli. Everybody agrees you need to put the mincha into a kli sharet to get it started. If you don't have a kli sharet at the outset, then there's nothing to speak about. So the kli sharet we're speaking about here is not about the mincha, but about the komet. The komet that you remove from the mincha, do you need to place it into a kli sharet? The Tanakhama says, shalom kli sharet pasul. You don't put the komets into a kli sharet, you have a mincha psula, it doesn't work at all. Rabbi Shimon is makshir. Shimon says, even without a kli sharet, the komets is still fine, and you can put it on the mizbeach. Although the Rambam writes in the Perush of Mishnayot, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sheik Shera, Rabbi Shimon says that without a kli sharet, it's kshera. Vafilo aita mincha kula b'kli sharet, even if the entire mincha was not in a kli sharet, vafilo notan komets b'kli sharet, or if you didn't put the komets in the kli sharet. So that seems to imply that he thinks that Rabbi Shimon's view is not just about the komets being placed into a kli sharet, but even about the korm in the chav being placed in a kli sharet, that Rabbi Shimon thinks that you don't need a kli sharet there. So from the Perush Mishnah to the Rambam, it sounds different than Rashi, although Rashi does think that you need, at minimum, a kli sharet for the mincha itself. The question by Rabbi Shimon is only about the komets being placed into the kli sharet. Yikdir komtza pamayim kshera. You put on the komets twice, then it is kshera. Again, we'll deal with that in the Gemara, what that means that you put it on twice. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Brei de Rabbi Chia. Over here we have a Machloket Amuraim in defining this position of Rabbi Shimon. We've referenced it before, but this is, in this location, trying to define why Rabbi Shimon believes that without a kli sharet, it's fine. So, Amar, the Shittimik Betzah takes out the word Rabbi here. Yehuda, Brei de Rabbi Chia. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position? That is because in Vikra Zayin it says Amakra, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi, Kachatat V'Chasham. It says about the Mincha that it's Kodesh Kodeshim, which we know it's Kodeshi Kodeshim, and it is like a Chatat and like an Asham. Why would you need to tell me it's like a Chatat and an Asham? It must mean that there are different avenues for dealing with the Mincha. Balo Dabiyad, if you want to do it with your hand, Obdabiyamin Kechatat, then you do it with your right hand, like a chatat. Bikli, if you want to do it in a kli sharet, obda bismol kasham. Then you can do it in your left hand, like an asham. So there are two paths to get the komets on the mizbeach according to this. Either the path of doing it by hand. That means if you take the komets off in your right hand, you continue with the komets up to the mizbeach, place it on the mizbeach, it'll be totally fine. That's like a chatat. A chatat is a requirement for etzpa, for the matnot dam. It's done by the hand of the Kohen as the requirement of right. On the other hand, by the Asham, the Makloki between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon as to what engenders the need for right-handedness by Avodah, according to the Chachamim, it's whether the word Etzba appears or whether the word Kohen appears. Either one of those is sufficient to demand right-handedness. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes if you have the word Etzba, then you have to use Yamin. But if you don't have the word Etzba, just the word Kohen, that does not require yamin. Therefore, by the case of chatat, where you have etzba and you have kohen, there everybody agrees you have to do it with your right hand. By asham, the chamim think you have to do it with your right hand because it says kohen, but Rabbi Shimon, who thinks you need etzba, there is no etzba mentioned by the asham. Therefore, there's no requirement of a right-handedness by the processing of the asham according to Rabbi Shimon. And so now, if I now take the mincha and say, you do the mincha, the path of the chatat, that means using the right hand, because the word etzba, and you process the whole thing with your right hand, taking it out, the komets, and then continuing on to be maktir on the mizbeach. If, on the other hand, you want to do it like an asham, you'll take the komets off with your right hand, place it into the kli sharet, and then you can take the kli sharet in your left hand, right hand, however you want to do it, like an asham, Because now it's functioning like an asham, not like a chatat. So those are your two options, or your two avenues. And that's how Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya explains this position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yanai Amar, Kevin Shukamtso, Mikle Sharet, Maleu, Umaktiro, Afilu Behem Yano, Afilu Bemikida, Shel Keres. Rabbi Yanai takes a different approach and says, once you've done the Kli Mitzah from the Kli Sharet, so you take your right hand, pull the Kometz out of the Mincha, at that point you can stick it into your belt, you can stick it into an earthenware utensil, and take it up to the Mizbeach. There's no longer any requirement of Kli Sharet, but not only is there no need for Kli Sharet, there's not even a necessity for right-handedness. You have no requirements. Once the Kometz is taken off, the only job you have is to get it to the Mizbeach. How you get to the Mizbeach is irrelevant. Whether you take it in a Kli Sharet, whether you take it in your right hand, or whether you take it any other way, in your belt, your left hand, however you take it up to the Mizbeach is fine. And that is, he claims, the view of Rabbi Shimon, that there's nothing necessary once you've taken off the Kometz with the right hand in terms of getting it to the Mizbeach. Kiddush. Says everybody agrees, including Rabbi Shimon, that you must put the Kometz into a Kli Sharet. Well, you do afterwards, that's different. But in order to mekadesh the Kometz, you have to take it out of the Kli Sharet that's in with the Mincha, place it into another Kli Sharet. Then at that point, you can make a decision. You want to take it out with your hand from there and then take it up to his back. You want to take it up in the Kli Sharet, that's fine. But you need the second Kiddush Kli Sharet in order for the Kometz to be roi the Mizbeach, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So we have three shittot here within the Amoraim as to what Rabbi Shimon's position is. Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya is more familiar to us because that's the way we've explained it many times before in Zvachim and earlier in the Masechta, which is that it's driven by Kodesh Kodeshimi, Kechatat Pasham, that there are two paths, two avenues for processing the Mincha, and you can pick whichever one you want to use. You can use your right hand and take it up to the Mizbeach, or you can use a Kli Sharet and then do it with either hand. You have the view of Rabbi Yanai, which is that you don't need anything. Once you've taken the Kometz off the Mincha, you can take it directly up to the Mizbeach. However you get it there, it doesn't really matter whether it's with your right hand, whether it's in your belt, whether it's in a Kli Cheres. There's no necessity to process it with your right hand or a Kli Sharet once it's removed from the original Kli Sharet. And then you have Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who says that everybody agrees you have to be mekadesh the Kometz in a Kli Sharet, then you're open after that to deal with it, whether you take it up with the Kli Sharet, or whether you take it up with your right hand. Meitavei, is that really true? Hekter chalavim ve'ivarim ve'itzim shelan. So when you're putting the chalavim and the ivarim, the fats and the limbs on the mizbeach, ve'itzim and the wood for the pyre, shelan ben beyad, ben bekli, you take them up to the mizbeach, whether you do it by hand, or you do it in a utensil. Ben b'yamin, ben b'smol. They do it with your right hand or your left hand. Ksherim. All of that is fine. That will work for these items in terms of putting them on his back. As Tosfot points out, in all likelihood, this first part of the Braita, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you could do the avoda b'smol, but he says it's even possible to explain it according to the Chachamim, because like we know that you're allowed to take up the parts of the behemah in your right and left hand to the kevesh. Maybe from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, you have the same din, which is you can put them on the Mizbeach with your left hand. Maybe even the Chachamim would agree here with regards to the Hekter, Chalavim, and Evarim, that they can be placed on b'smol. A Kometz, Vaktoret, Velevona. On the other hand, a Kometz, and the Ktoret that's taken into the Mizbeach Zav, Levona, that either is from the Bazichim of the Lechem Apanim, or Levona from a Mincha, She'alan, Ben Beyad, Ben Bekli, Ben Beyamin, Ben b'smol. You have the right to take it up in your hand or in a utensil with your right hand or your left hand. Ksherim. All of those are totally fine in terms of putting it on the Mizbeach. And of course, this Braita has to be authored by Rabbi Shimon because there's no other Tana that is Makshir Kometz Shalobi Kli Sharet Chutz Mei Rabbi Shimon. So it's clearly Rabbi Shimon. And despite the fact that it's Rabbi Shimon, it says you can do it Ben B'yamin Ben B'smol Tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of that position of Rabbi Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya, according to the Shita Mekbetzet, Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya. This is a strong refutation of his position because over here it says, whether you use Kli or Yad, you can use left or right. According to Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya, if you use your hand, you must do it in your right hand. It's only when it's in a Kli Sharet you have the option to do it with your left or right hand. And here the Braita seems to indicate even if you do it by hand, you have that choice. So Amalekha Rabbi Yehuda Breit Rabbi Chiya, Lid Stadadim Kitani. You have to read it as it's making two different points. Biyad, if you do it by hand, biyamin. Bikli, if you do it with a utensil, ben biyamin, ben bismol. So we're just missing that little word, biyamin, over there, because it's litzadin. It's telling you if you use a kli or a yad, then you bring it right and left. For the yad, that means only right. And for the kli, it means either right or left. And that's how he rereads the Braita in order not to be a problem for him. It's only interesting that the Gemara uses the Lashon of Tiyukta, because generally if the Gemara has an answer or is going to respond, it will use the word Kasha, which is a strong question but can be answered. Tiyukta usually implies that it's a complete refutation and we don't have an answer. And yet here, the Gemara does present a way that Rabbi Yehuda Breidner Bechia could explain it, though it seems that the Gemara doesn't feel that that is a strong response over here, because it left it as a Tiyukta rather than saying that Kasha. All right, Tashma. Kamtso, we have in our Girsa the word shelo, although if you can see in the Ot Chet of the Shita Megubetzet, he takes out the word shelo. So we say, Kamtso mikli sharet. He took the comments out of mikli sharet, vikidisho shelo bikidisho sharet. And then you don't place it into a kli sharet, you place it into a utensil that is not mikadesh. Ve'alo viktiro. And then you took it up to the Mizbeach, and you were maktir on the Mizbeach, shelo bikli sharet. Again, not in a utensil, not in a kli sharet. So now, again, either you could have no kli whatsoever, or there was a kli there, it just wasn't a kli sharet. Pasul, that's problematic. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, makshirim bimatan kli. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are makshir if it was bimatan kli. Kilo shlo bikli sharet. You can put it into a kli, even though it's not a kli sharet. And as Rashi notes over here, tiyufta de Rav Nachman. This now presents a problem for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the last of the three Amorim we saw. Hakol modim b'komets shiton kiddush. Everybody agrees that the komets that's taken off must go into a kli sharet. You now have a braita that indicates that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says if you don't put it in a kli sharet, it fails. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says it does work. You don't need to put it into a kli sharet. So you see from there that you don't have to have a matan kli for the komets. And that goes against Rav Nachman's position. So the Gemara answers, Ema mi matan kli ve'elach. It doesn't mean bi matan kli. It doesn't mean that you do it in a matan kli, but rather, mi matan kli ve'elach. From the point of the time it was put into a kli sharet. And onwards, that is okay to do without a kli sharet. Which means what's beyond the matana b'kli, that means that the holakha and the haktara don't require a kli sharet. But you still require kli sharet for the original komets to be nitkadesh according to Rav Nachman. So if you meant the language to say mimatan kli ve'elech rather than simply makshirim b'matan kli, which sounds like you can put it on any utensil, you don't need kli sharet. Here it's saying once you've passed the point of kli sharet, then you don't need a kli sharet anymore. Tashma, chamim omrim komets ta'on kli sharet. Do the chamim say that a komets requires kli sharet? Ketzad, komtso mi kli sharet. You take the komets out of a kli sharet. The mincha is originally in a kli sharet. You take the komets out of there. And then you place it into a new kli sharet. Then you take it up to the mizbeach and put on the mizbeach with a kli sharet. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kevin shekamtso mikli sharet, ma'alo umaktiro shelo bikli sharet. Vidayo. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, as we know he does. He says, once you take the komets out of the kli sharet, take it straight up to the Mizbeach, put it on the Mizbeach, shelo bikli sharet, without a kli sharet. And that's sufficient. That's once again a problem for Rav Nachman. Over here you see that you don't require kiddush of the komets bikli sharet. Ema, kevin shekamtso, v'kiddusho bikli sharet, ma'alo umaktiro vidayo. So again, he amends the Braita to read in a way that would uphold his position, which is, kevin dekamtso, he took it off the komets, v'kiddusho bikli sharet, and he was mekadesh in a kli sharet. After that, kli sharet doesn't matter, and then that would be okay for Rav Nachman because it wouldn't be saying that you don't need a kli sharet for the komets. Tashma, kamatz b'miyamino, v'natan b'smolo. Took the kamitza off with his right hand, and then put it into his left hand. Yachzir l'yamino. You gotta put it back onto your right hand. B'smolo, if it's in his left hand, v'chishiv alea, ben chutz l'mkomo, ben chutz l'zmano, pasul v'ein bo karet. Whether you have a makshevet chutz l'zmano or a makshevet chutz l'mkomo, it is pasul ein bo karet. Rashi explains here that this statement of the Braita is a continuation of the previous statements of the Braita. The Braita said you took it off the Komis with your right hand, passed it to your left hand, we require you to put it back in your right hand. This next line in the Braita is saying, while it's in your left hand, if while it's in your left hand, you have a makshava of chutzlim mano, makshavin chutzlim kamo, makes no difference. Because while it's in your left hand, you're not performing the avoda. And you only can have a makshava that's impactful when you're doing the avoda and you're engaged in a way that is correct. The only way to do this is with your right hand. Here you have it in your left hand. Since it's in your left hand, your makshava is not going to be meaningful. And it is posel, the korban, but it doesn't make it into pigul. Now the Shita Mikubetz quotes over here from the Tosafot Kitzoniot, who question this view of Rashi and say it doesn't make any sense. They say, Vikasha, am I pasul? According to Rashi, why is it pasul at all? If you're telling me that a makshava, while it's in your left hand, is meaningless, that means you did nothing. If you did nothing, the mincha should be totally fine. If it doesn't take hold of the makshava, then it should be meaningless, and the mincha should remain kshera. So they say, I don't understand how Rashi says over here that the mincha is psula. I understand why the makshava is not impactful. But if it's not impactful, it should be so much so that it's kshera. I mean, they have no impact whatsoever. It says, V'chein nira lefareish, b'smol b'chisha la pasol v'ein bo karet, v'chlo perush kom kamatz b'smolo. The way to read this part of the break is not a continuation of what we said before. If it was in your right hand, you moved it to your left. You got to put it back in your right. And Rashi says, oh, while it's in your left, that's this part of the break. No, it's a new case. B'smolo. If you took off the komitz to your left hand, the first case, you took it off your right hand, then put it into your left hand, just put it back in your right hand. Here, you took the komitz off with your left hand. You take the komitz off with your left hand, you fail completely. So then the mincha is psula. Even with makshevet pigol, even with makshevet chutzlim komo, it's going to be pasul because the matirim weren't put on properly. Even without the makshevot, which is saying that it is pasul in that case. Obviously, Rashi didn't like this shot because of what you're saying. There, the failure is that you took it off small, not the makshevet pigol or the makshevet chutzlim komo. Otherwise, you have to say that the chiddush here is that the Braita is telling you that the makshevet chutzlim mano and chutzlim komo don't work when you do something wrong in the mincha. Now, we've learned before, but maybe the Braita is also reinforcing that as well here. Now, so here we have lishna akrina, but there's obviously got to be some other word here. It's the word bimino. The previous case was bismalo, when it's in your left hand. Over here, it's bimino, it's in your right hand. So for Rashi, that means after you put it back in your right hand, you had it in your left hand, you put it back in your right hand. For the shita mikubetzet, for the tosavot chitzoniot, means that you're taking the komets off with your right hand. Then, chishev alea chutzim komo pasul, vein bo karet, chutzim zmano, pigul, v'chayimin alav karet, divrei Rabbi Elazar, v'Rabbi Shimon. This is the view of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Chamim armim, kemin shenetano l'smo, pasato matanato. That once you move it over to the left hand, that automatically disqualifies it, and there's nothing to speak about it passing it back to your right hand. My kaima, shom debayi kedusha b'kli. Because you need it to be in a kedush kli. Kemin shenetano l'smo, so since you didn't do that, it becomes the equivalent of blood that spills directly out of the neck of the animal onto the ground that you can't collect it. So this is just to jog our memories. If you remember with regards to Kabbalat Dam, we say that you have to have a Kli Sharet to capture the Dam after the Shechita. That's the Kabbalat Dam. That Kabbalat Dam must be done in a Kli. If you spill the blood after it went into a kli, that's fine. You could just scoop it up, gather it in, put it back in the kli charade, and continue on. The other hand, if it never got into a kli charade, it fell on the floor, and then only afterwards you put it into a kli charade, that's a failure in Kabbalat Hadam. So similarly, if we compare the Kabbalat Hadam to the process in the Mincha of placing the komets into a kli charade, then that should be the same thing over here. If you place the komets into a kli charade, then you've had, quote-unquote, Kabbalat Adam. And at that point, if it falls out, you take it out with your left hand. If you do things with it, just return it, and it'll work, because it's the equivalent of Kabbalat Adam in a kli that's spilled. On the other hand, if you never put it in a kli sharet, then if it falls, quote-unquote, to a location that is improper, it'll be the equivalent of the blood spitting on the ground. So over here, where the komets ends up in your left hand, that's an area that is the equivalent of being on the ground. It's not an area that's qualified for the komets. And since it didn't end up in a kli sharet, that means that it is now the equivalent of blood being spilled on the floor. It's disqualified. You can't use this mincha anymore. That's the view of the Chachamim. Obviously, the view of the Chachamim is that you have to have Kiddush Kli for the Komets, implying that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who disagree with the Chachamim, do not require Kli Sharet. They do not require that the Komets be placed into a Kli Sharet. That's what the Gemara says here. Michlal, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, lo bo maton Kli. They don't require that he place in the Kli. Tiyufta, the Rabbi Nachman, Tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of Rabbi Nachman's position, because Rabbi Nachman says everybody agrees you need Kiddush Kli. You see here that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon don't require Kiddush Kli, and that's incorrect. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Chia, Messiah, this is a help. This is a reproof to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Chia, or Yehuda, Rabbi Chia's position, who explained that there are two mechanisms for getting the Komets onto the Mizbeach. One mechanism is Kli Sharet, one mechanism is Yad Yamin. So that means that, exactly what the Brit is saying here, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, you could take this Komets up to the Mizbeach in your right hand without any problem. Le Rabbi Yanai, Le Metav Yitziyufta. What about Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai says that you can take it up to the Mizbeach any which way you choose. You don't have to take it up in your right hand. Yet in the Brit, it says if you put it into your left hand, you got to take it back to your right hand. Why can't you just take it up with your left hand? So where it says, Amalacha Rabbi Yanai, Ana Damrei Katana Dehekter. I don't hold like the Tana in this Breita. I hold like the Tana in the Hektar Breita. But that case of the Hektar Breita, I don't say it's Litzdadim. I say that it's literally Bembe Yad, Bembe Kli, Bembe Yamin, Bembe Small. That doesn't matter whether it was in a Kli or in your Yad. Doesn't matter if it was right or left. Either one of those is good. And that's me. I say you can take it up with your left hand and everything is good. So in the end, we have those three Amoraim. Rav Nachman's position is seriously challenged, and we say Tiyufta about his position. Yehuda Rabbi Chia's position was challenged with the Tiyufta, but we did have an answer. And over here, we have some support for his view. Rabbi Yanai's position, we find slightly challenged, but he says, I have Tanaim that backed me up, and I'm going to read the Braita simply that we saw before, and it may disagree with the Tana of this Braita over here, but I have a Braita that supports my view of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Rabbi Yanai also can stand. And Rabbi Nachman's really the only one where we have serious refutation of his position. Right now, Hiktir Kumtza Pamayim Kshera. If you put on the Komets in two sections, that is fine. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Pa'amayim Velo Pa'amei Pa'amayim. You put it on in two pieces, but you can't put it in multiple pieces. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Pa'amayim Vafilu Pa'amei Pa'amayim. Doesn't matter how many pieces you put on the Mizbeach, as long as you get the whole Komets on the Mizbeach, that's fine. My Benayu, what is driving this difference in their opinion? On Rabbi Zera, Yesh Komets Pachot Mishnei Zeitim. It has to do with whether you can have a Komets that's less than two Zeitim big. Yesh Haktara Chuta Mikzayit. And whether you can put something on the Mizbeach that's less than a Kizayit. Ike Benayu. That is the Nafkamina between these two opinions. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Savar, Ein komets pachot mishnei zeitim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that their komets doesn't come less than two zeitim. Now, it's never clear what the source for this position of Rabbi Shua ben Levi is. Either have to argue, like any other shiur in the Torah, that it is Allah Moshe Mitzinai, or you just have to say it's a practical statement, which is, in reality, nobody's hand is that small that you can't have two zeitim worth inside of a komets. Or maybe the whole limud is actually backwards, which is, the Mishnah says you can only split it in half. And the minimum of Torah is a zayit. Then by definition, a komets has to be shnei zeitim in order for all of this to work. If you need a minimum of a kazayit and you can split it once, that means that you have a minimum of two zeitim in a komets. And maybe that's the source for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Vein akhtarab chutami kazayit. He also believes that if you put something in his bag, it has to be a minimum of a kazayit. And so therefore, if you split it, you're okay. You split it once, you still have a kazayit worth in the two pieces. You have a komets that's greater than two kzeitim. If you split it once, then you have at least a kazayit in each piece that you have there. And you need a minimum of kazayit to put on the mizbeach. That's why you can split it once. You split it again, no guarantees anymore. It's very likely you have less than a kazayit in one of the pieces. You can't put it on the mizbeach. So that's the view of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand believes, yesh komets pachot mishnei zeitim. It's possible to have a komets that's less than shnei zeitim. Either that's the halacha l'moshe mitzinai, or practically you have people with hands that are smaller, and therefore maybe you would have a fistful that is less than two zeitim's worth. That means when the Mishnah tells you you can split it in half, that means you can end up pieces that are less than a kazayit big. And therefore you could put on the Mizbeach something less than a kazayin, because the Mishnah at least allows for a single split. Well, if you have less than two kseitim worth over here, by definition, one of them is going to have less than a kazayin. And it allows you to do that and says it's shirah. But once that's true, why does it matter if it's split once, split twice, split three times? If you can put on less than a kazayin, doesn't matter how big it is, you can break it down into component parts. Tosafot over here says, until now, we've always assumed that you can't put less than a kazayit on the Mizbeach. We just had that with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you need a kazayit of chalev or a kazayit of basar in order to put the dam on the Mizbeach. That was because we assumed the minimum haktara is that of a kazayit. How come all of a sudden over here we have Rabbi Yochanan suggesting that you can have haktara p'chuta mikazayit? He says, ha'cha hainu taima mishum diyesh komets pachot mishnei zeitim v'chatzi komets marbim. We have a reboy to say that a komets can come in two components. And so what we have now is, by definition, you can't put less than a kazayit on. So he says, even though everywhere else we say it's haktara, this is going to be a gzeret hakatul, because of the reboy to put the komets on in two parts, that's going to allow you to put on less than a kazayit. That tells you that the din of haktara by a komets is less than a kazayit, but is the exception to the rule. This is not the rule. It's only in this unique case. It might also have to do with the fact that a komets is really not a singular unit. The komets is really made up of the flour and oil there, but it's not really bound together as a singular unit. When you talk about kazayit basar, speaking about kazayit chelev, you're speaking about the items that are integrally connected, meaning that they are a single item that has a piece that's been taken away from a larger item. But the piece itself is also connected. It's not a piece that's made up of component parts. It's a chunk or a singular piece. Over here, when you're dealing with the komets, you're dealing with crumbs almost, in a sense, granules, crumbs, and therefore that might be the driving force over here, which is that, in essence, the komets is not really a singular unit, and that's what allows you to break it down into smaller parts, put on the mizbeach. That's just in trying to give some explanation to why you would have this be the exception to the rule, and why Rabbi Yochanan would have such a position by a komets. Itzmar. Komets meimatai matir shirayim b'achila. From what point in time is it matir the shirayim b'achila? That we know already from the psukim, that once a komets ends up on the mizbeach, that's what releases the shirayim to be eaten by the kohanim, because it says, v'iktir ha-mizbeach v'ech nichoach azkarata l'ashem, v'aton terim yenu yochu aron v'nav. So, once you put the azkara on the mizbeach, that's when aron v'nav get the right to eat that which is shirayim of the mincha. So now, we know that the prerequisite, it has to end up on the mizbeach. Question is, what does that mean that it ends up on the mizbeach? How much does it have to be on the mizbeach in order for it to qualify to say that the shirayim are released? As Tosafot points out, the same question exists by the emurim. You're not allowed to eat the basar until the emurim go on the mizbeach. So at what point are they considered to be on the mizbeach? Tosafot says the Gemara didn't go in that direction because by emurim, it's not as definitive. By emurim, if they're missing or they were saruf, you could still eat the basar. By the shirei mincha, the only way to eat it is if the komets ended up in the mizbeach. And that's why the Gemara asked that question with regards to the komets, which is definitive in the fact that you have to get on the mizbeach in order to eat the shirayim. Rabbi Chanino Omer, mishamashla bo ator. As soon as the fire takes hold of it, that's enough to make it that it is considered on the mizbeach, and then you can eat the shirayim. Mashlabo ator means that it now has become what we call lachmo shel mizbeach. It is now the food of the mizbeach. As soon as the fire takes to it, that's enough to tell you that it belongs to the mizbeach now. Yochanan Amar, mishetatzit et ha'or birubo. Yochanan says, no, it needs to have the robe of the item has to now be consumed by fire. So that's a much higher standard, and also is not as pashut. Rav Chanina's position makes sense. You have to do haktara. You did the haktara. That should release the shirayim. What's haktara? You got the fire to catch on the item. That's enough. Rabbi Yochanan having a higher standard needs explanation over here. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabba Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Asav Lecha, time of the Rabbi Yochanan. So that's what you see. The Gemara doesn't go out to explain what Rabbi Chanina's position is. It goes out to explain what Rabbi Yochanan's position is. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, by Sodom, B'nei Allah Kitor Aretz Ki Kitor HaKibshan, that after the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, there it says that the land then has smoke that is emanating from it, like the smoke of a furnace. In Kibshan Malekitor, a furnace only starts to smoke or give off smoke, Ajitatzita or Birubo, only once the fire has caught over the majority of the fuel that is there. You can't just have a small fire going on inside the furnace and then all of a sudden be bellowing smoke. The furnace only bellows smoke when the fire has really taken hold of the fuel that's inside of it. So similar over here. If there's a requirement of haktara, that's the verb that's used, and we see kitor, that is used by stone, means the smoke coming out, but you only get smoke when the fire is taken to the robe of the item. And that's what the reasoning is behind Rabbi Yochanan's position. Amalei Ravin bar Rav Ada the Rova, Amrei Tamidecha, Amar Rav Amram. Again, there are a number of ways to read this. We've actually had this once in Zvachim and once before also in Menachot. We'll just read it simply. In those other cases, we explained the different possibilities because the Girsa was slightly different over there. But let us just read it like this. Amalei Ravin bar Rav Ada the Rova, Amrei Tamidecha. Your Tamidim say, Amar Rav Amram. That Rav Amram says the following. Tanya, Ein li ela dvarim shedarkan likarev balayla. How do I know that certain things are allowed to go on the Mizbeach at night? Things that are normally put on the Mizbeach at night. And obviously it doesn't mean that you have to put them on at night. It just means you can put them on the Mizbeach at night. Obviously the best way to do it is to get everything on during the daytime. But there is a dispensation to put these items on at night as well. Kagon, Evarim upidarim, Shemalan umaktiran, miboa shemesh, umitaklin, vohulchim kolalaila kula. That they can be placed on the Mizbeach even after nightfall, even after sunset. They can be placed on the Mizbeach, and then they are consumed on the Mizbeach for the entire night. So that comes from the Sukkim that we found by the Shumat HaDeshen, where the Pasuk tells us, Zotot Torat Olah Yolala Mugdal Mizbeach Kol HaLayla Adaboker. What is Kol HaLayla? What are those items? So it's the Olah, the Varim Ibdarim of the Olah, can be placed on the Mizbeach all night long. Dvarim shedarkan likarev bayom, things that normally are placed on the Mizbeach during the day, kagon, for example, kometz, livona, baktoret, minchat kohenim, uminchat kohen mashiach, minchat nisachim. So all these items that are normally placed on the Mizbeach during the day, because it says b'yom tzavoto, that you have to do the avodah during the day. So these are all items that need to get out to the Mizbeach and are avodot, so they are required or should be put on the Mizbeach during the day. Komets of the Mincha, the Lubona from the Bazichim, or the Lubona from the Mincha, Ktoret, which is going in the Mizbeach Zahav, the Minchat Kohenim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach, which are Kalil the Mizbeach, and Minchat Nesachim, which is also Kalil the Mizbeach, coming with a Korban. Shema'alan u'maktiran b'bo Shemesh. How do we know that you can put them on even after sunset? Wait, Ba'amart, Darkan likarei bayom. Wait a minute, you just told me that you're supposed to put them on during the day. So how can you tell me you can put them on after sunset if you're supposed to put them on during the day? Ela im boa shemesh. How do I know that you can put them on? Right at sunset. Meaning that you don't have to put them on in the middle of the day so that they are consumed prior to sunset. All you have to do is get them on the mizbech, on the pyre, prior to sunset. Shemitaklim olchim kol alayla. And then they can be consumed at night. Minayin, how do I know that's the case? Tamalomar, zoturat ha'ula. So over here we have a riboy from that pasuk that we just read before. Zoturat ha'ula, yola magdal mizbech kol alayla. So Zotah Torat Olah is a riboy. That riboy comes to tell you that all of these items, even though they need to be put on during the day, you have a right to let them be consumed during the night. And even though, as Tosafot points out, that generally you don't allow things to be put on the Mizbeach after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, by the Kometz and the Levonah, it's not a question, because since maybe the Kemitza was done before the Korban HaTamid, it's like a varim that are left over from a Korban that can be placed on even after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. The Minchat Kohenim and Kohen Mashiach, even though they don't have a Kemitza, they have Kiddush Kli, so maybe that already makes them that they are Ritwayim, or allowed to go on the Mizbeach, even after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Because anything that doesn't have a Matir, once it all goes into the Kli Sharet, it is Chashub Ki Matirin. It becomes like a Matir, or that process is like making it into a Matir. And so then these items all technically happen prior to the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. And to complete them after that point in time would be okay. There's going to be a serious problem for Rabbi Yochanan, because if you put it on immediately before sunset, how are you going to have it catch over the majority of the item before sunset? He did it very close to sunset. There's not enough time for the fire to spread over the robe of this item. Where it says, Lokasha, kan leklot, kan latir. You're dealing with two different thresholds. The first threshold is it considered on the Mizbeach? That is, as long as you got it on the pyre, then it's on the Mizbeach. You want to know when you can eat the Sheria Mincha? That's only when Tzitzita or Berubo, when the fire is spread to the majority of the item. So you have two different thresholds. The threshold when considered on the Mizbeach is simply that the fire catches, it's on the pyre of the Mizbeach. You want to know when the Shirayim become Mutarim, you have to wait until it catches on the entirety, or the robe of the item. Belazar Matnila Mibo Shemesh. The Belazar actually does not emend the Breita. The way we amended the Breita was you have a first series of items that are allowed to be put on at night after sunset. A second series of items that can be put on Bivo HaShemesh, at sunset. But we changed the Girsa and the Breita to read that way, which said at sunset. The real Girsa and the Breita is, how do I know those things that are put on during the day can be put on after sunset? That's the real reading of the Breita. So Rabbi Elazar maintains that original reading of the Breita, that both of the cases, it means after sunset. I know the Evarim Pederim, if you put on the Mizbeach after sunset, I have the Pasuk here in Pashat Tzav. Now I want to know all these other items, can I put them on the Mizbeach after sunset? When I say, what do you mean after sunset? They're supposed to be put on during the day. It says, Umukim la bepukin. It's a case where they were already on the Mizbeach and popped off the Mizbeach. That's the question here. When something pops off the Mizbeach, do you put it back on? By the Evarim Pederim, I know that you put it back on because it can be put on at night. Even if you didn't put them on in the day, you can put them on at night itself. So of course, if they pop off, you have to put them back on. Question is, items that must be placed on during the day, if they pop off at night, how do I know you have to return them to the Mizbeach? It's talking about a case where they popped off the Mizbeach. Where it says, did Rabbi Yanai really say such a thing? Ketoret shepak'ah me'agabe ha-mizbeach. Ketoret that pops off the mizbeach. The mizbeach we're speaking about here is a mizbeach ha-zahav. Because that's where the ketoret goes. The ketoret doesn't go on the mizbeach. It's on, it goes on the mizbeach ha-zahav. Afilu karatin sheba. Even if it's a whole granule that is popping off, e'machzirin otan. You don't have to return them to the mizbeach ha-zahav. You just said in the list of the Breita before, there were a number of items that we said are put on during the day. And now if you're explaining the Breita, I mean, if they pop off, you have to return them. One of those items was ketoret. And yet, Rabbi Yanai over here explicitly says, if ketoret pops off the mizbeach, you don't have to put it back on. V'tani Rabbi Chanina bar Yume b'dvei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, asher tochala eish et ola ala mizbeach. And the asher tochala eish et ola ala mizbeach is extraneous because it already told you what is on the mizbeach and the deshen that's coming from it. So why does he have to define again the deshen asher tochala eish et ola ala mizbeach? Therefore, it comes to teach us et ha'ola al ha'mizbeach, that will the eish that is consuming the ola that's on the mizbeach, but some oitz l'mizbeach. That's by trumat ha'deshen. And now he's darshening about that. Ikulei ola ata machzir, parts of the ola that are being consumed, you return to the mizbeach. V'ata machzir ikulei ketoret. You don't have to put the things that are being consumed by the fire of the ketoret back on the mizbeach. That's defining that which is said before. That zotrat ola he ola l'mukdal mizbeach kol laila ad aboker veish mizbeach tukad bo. That's defined by the next pasuk, which is alavash akoyim midovad mechsei bari bashem tzerob. Even it's a deshen shel tuchal eish et ola l'mizbeach. Only the ola that's on the mizbeach requires that return, not ketoret. Marseh sami mikan ketoret. Just drop, take ketoret out of the breita, and then you can explain it even according to Rabbi Yanai. And even though from this meal you could also exclude the komets and the bonah, the Baal Tosfot suggests that they don't do that because they go on the Mizbeach of Kitzon. The Torah has both aspects of it. It's not an Ola, as well as it goes on the Mizbeach Zav, and that's why it is the item that we exclude from here. Arabi Asi, ki poshit Rabbi Elazar b'menachot boi yochi. When Rabbi Elazar was going through Menachot, when he was learning Menachot, he used to ask the following question. Kometz shisidero, if you put a kometz on the Mizbeach, the sider alavet amaracha, and then you put the pyre on top of it, mahu. Is that considered to be haktara of the komets? Normally you put the komets on the pyre. Here instead you put the komets on the mizbeach, and then put the pyre on top of it. Derech haktara b'kach? Oin derech haktara b'kach? Is that a normal way to do haktara? Or is that not a normal way to do haktara? Teiku, we leave that as an unresolved issue. Now, v'yichizkiyah, now along that line of thinking, we have the following question. Evarim shesidran. There are limbs that were put on the mizbeach. V'sidar leim et amaracha. And then you put the pyre on top of the limbs. Mahu. What's the din here? Al eitzim amarachmana. Dafka leitzim. Then when it says that you have to put the items on the etzim, on the wood of the mizbeach, does that mean literally on the etzim? Odilma came in the etzim kra achrina. The other pasuk says, asher tuchalet aish et ola al mizbeach. The pasuk that we just quoted before, that the aish will consume the ola on the mizbeach. Iboyochi avit. What is the focus? Is the focus on the ala etzim, on the wood? And that's the only way it's considered to be a proper haktara, a proper placing of devarim onto the mizbeach. Or is the focus asher tuchal eish? As long as the fire can consume it, that's enough. It doesn't matter that it's ala etzim, it just means that the fire can reach it. If the fire can reach it, it's enough. Take to it. Once again, an unresolved issue. Then obviously you would have to interpret the word ala etzim, as we're going to see in a second, to not mean literally on the etzim, but al sometimes means bisamuch, next to. So al etzim would just mean it needs to be adjacent to the etzim, and asher tuchal eish is the defining factor that the fire consume it. As long as the fire consumes it, it's okay. Or do you say al etzim is dafka? It must be on top of the etzim, and that's the only way the fire can consume it, is if it's placed directly on top of the etzim. Boy Rabbi Yisrael nafka, evarim shesidran bitzidei maracha mahu. So now, assuming that if under the maracha does not work, otherwise the following question is not meaningful. If it works under the maracha, certainly it's going to work next to the maracha. So the question here now assumes, if you say that under the maracha doesn't work, does it work next to the maracha? Alim et demam damar al mamash lo tibay lacha. According to the one who says that al ha'etzim means literally al ha'etzim, obviously there's no question over here, al ha'etzim k'tiv. Because it says al ha'etzim, you got to put them on. Ki tibay lacha alim et demam damar al b'samuch. According to one who says that al doesn't mean literally on the etzim, it means adjacent to, next to. And the Gemara will bring proof to that later on in the Masechta. My, what's the din here? Hachanami al b'samuch. Do we say here al b'samuch, meaning that al etzim means adjacent and next to the etzim? Odilma al etzim, dumi ad al mizbeach. Or do we take it more literally over here because it's brought together in a sequence of items, which is al etzim, ashel eish, ashel mizbeach. It concludes that etzim, eish, and mizbeach are all put together in a sequence. Ma'atam al mamash. Of course, you can't put it next to the mizbeach. You have to put it on the mizbeach. Avachanami al mamash. So too over here, you're going to read al literally, even though normally you would read al as being next to or adjacent to. Over here, because of its sequencing in al etzim, ashel eish, ashel mizbeach, that's written by the korbanot of the olah, maybe over here you would take it very literally and say it must go on the etzim. Teiku. Again, once again, this is an unresolved issue. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph.